Sandra Adair is an Academy Award-nominated film editor best known for her long collaboration with director Richard Linklater. Her work on films including Boyhood, The Before Trilogy, School of Rock, and the recent Blue Moon is celebrated for their naturalistic rhythm, performance sensitivity, and an invisible cutting style. A defining voice in American independent cinema, Sandra specializes in shaping time, conversation, and memory into deeply human narrative form. At the Sedona Film Festival, which Adair is attending for the first time, she will be leading a workshop titled From First Cut to Final Frame, A Film Editor's Workflow. The event takes place on Saturday, February 28th, 4 p.m. at Yavapai College, Sedona Center. This is Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out for the Sedona Film Festival. Delighted to be speaking with Sandra Adair in the run-up to her very first appearance in town. Sandra, thanks for taking time out of your crazy schedule to join me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Likewise. When your director and film partner Richard Linklater and your audiences describe your work as natural, what invisible labor sits beneath that widely acknowledged impression?
Well, first of all, Richard and his cast workshop these scripts before there's ever a camera anywhere near set. They know their characters, they know what they're doing, they've already like kind of inhabited the story and their characters before they ever start shooting. So that's the first thing. There's hardly ever any ad-libs. On my part, I'm always looking for, when I'm working with performances, I am always asking myself the question, does this ring true to this character, to this moment, to this scene, to where we're going to go, where we've been. So there's always this constant barrage of questions that I'm asking myself as I'm selecting material to put in a scene and how to juxtapose those moments with the next moment to make it feel the most natural and the most, you know, every single piece in a scene in a movie has to do its job. So that's really what I'm looking for.
Thank you for clarifying. So you've had 24 or more film collaborations with Richard. So backing up to the in the beginning bit, how did you two meet and find chemistry?
Well, I moved to Austin, Texas in 1991 from Los Angeles. And I had heard about this director that was shooting a film for Universal. And so in 1991, I sent him a snail mail letter with my two-page resume folded up. And just like a letter of introduction, hello, I'm here. I'd love to interview with you for the editing job on Dazed and Confused. And I just sent it off to the production office. And about 3 weeks later, I got a call from the producer to come in and interview with Rick. He was already full in on pre-production. And we had probably a 20-minute meeting. Then they sent me to LA to meet with the producers. So, you know, it was, at the time, there were not a lot of feature film editors in Austin, Texas, so I happened to be in the right place at the right time with the right guy and the right film, and I was ready.
Wonderful. Great. So, in many of the films you and Linklater have worked together, if not all, were made in Austin, Texas. Is there anything about working far away from the film hubs of Los Angeles or New York City that influences the way you two combine your talents?
Well, I think there is something to be said for the independence of our work away from the hovering eyes of Los Angeles or New York. Mm-hmm. I feel like Rick is going to always, he is always going to make the films that he wants to make. And he is never in a hurry. He takes his time. And so I think being away from LA allows us to have our own rhythm in terms of how we work. He's a very relaxed, laid-back guy, which is wonderful for me. It gives me time to kind of do things in a way that I don't feel rushed. I don't feel like there's someone going to come in the room and ask to see something. It's just, we're very contained. One of the drawbacks is we don't really have the infrastructure that you would have if you were working mm-hmm. on a lot. For example, back in the old days when we were cutting on film, if you broke a grease pencil, you could call, you know, post-production supplies, and they would send a golf cart to your cutting room with a box of grease pencils. Mm-hmm. We don't have that here. So we have, you know, we have really kind of learned how to be independent. We know how to troubleshoot. We know how to, you know, keep things running and keep things smooth here without that infrastructure. But it has been wonderful to be independent from Hollywood. I mean, of course, Rick makes movies and he has executives all the time from, you know, all these different companies, and he's a master at bringing them in when he's ready and collaborating with them when he's ready. But we also kind of set our own pace.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Sure. In what is arguably your apex work, the film Boyhood, my understanding is there was no final script. So did you cut it as it was shot, or did you cut it all at once? And once you had all the footage at the end of the 12-year shoot?
Yeah, I did. So there was a final script, I think, but it was in Rick's head. he very much knew where the film was going to start, what the middle was going to be, and what the end was going to be. I think that the cast and Rick, as he always does, workshopped what each year was going to be. Of course, he had in his mind the islands that he knew he was going to hit in each year, but all of the specifics, and everybody changed in those 12 years, especially the lead, Mason, the character Mason, the actor Eller, he changed over those 12 years dramatically, and we got to see it on screen. But Rick was every year checking in with Eller to see, like, what are you interested in now? What's going on in your life? Do you have a girlfriend? This, that, and the other thing. Same with the parents, Ethan and Patricia. Checked in with them so that they could, I mean, it just was a very, and I hate to use this word, but a very organic process for the production. For me, I would edit each year not as it was shot, but when they were finished shooting each year, I would have like a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, maybe three, to put together that year's segment and then attach it to the previous years. And then Rick and I would sit down and watch all of the years put together. And that was a wonderful way to incorporate editing into production, because he and I could talk about what's coming next, how he's going to want to transition from the outgoing shot of, say, year 4 to year 5. And it gave him a lot of visual information to deal with, to plan for the next year. We really didn't have a full film until it was, until year 12. So we never screened the movie for almost anyone. I think a few people saw it, obviously. People at IFC who financed the film, Ethan, there were a few people that saw it occasionally throughout those years. In the final year, after they shot the last part of it, after they shot the ending, I told them I have to have more time. I have to have time to make all these changes. We had, Rick and I had decided that we were not going to make any major changes year by year. We just kept a running list of change notes on my laptop for 12 years. This huge, long document of all the thoughts that we had about things we might want to change. So once we had a whole entire film, we were able to pull up those notes and go through them and see if any of them still applied. Many of them didn't even apply. Some of them may have been attended to. You know, if something was really bothering me, I'd be like, oh, screw it. I'm going to go ahead and do these few little things. And then also in the final year is when we added all the songs. There were production songs where that were performed live, like Ethan performing with his roommate, who's Charlie Sexton, Ethan singing with Eller, the camp scene where he's singing in the tent. So all that was built in. But all of the songs were basically put in the final year, in that last round of post-production. And at the conference, I will talk about, at the festival, I will talk about our process with the music, which is a very long story right there.
So what is your process for discovering a film's rhythm, structure, and emotional spine once you enter the footage?
Once I assemble the footage?
Yeah, once you enter it, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. For me, I feel like my first cut, my editor's cut, that's everything to me to start with. Because it's where I really can find my own voice with the footage. I am so tenacious and I'm very detail oriented, and I go through all of the footage like so thoroughly. And when I put that first cut together, I want it to be very close to what we're going to end up with at the end. So my process in terms of storytelling, a lot of it happens in my first cut. Once I show that to Rick and we have our conversations and everything, we kind of go back, you know, bit by bit, like reel by reel, and he will give me his notes, his thoughts. We'll have conversations. I think in terms of the film's rhythm, you know, that having screenings for people, even having one other person come in the cutting room and watch something with me, alters my perception of what's going on. I can tell if something is playing. I can tell if something is too long. I can tell if the humor is or isn't working. So I think going through that process of like feedback screenings, friends and family screenings, and finding a consensus from people about how the film is landing with an audience, that is also extremely helpful. I think the emotional spine is built in usually. I mean, I think if you if I do my job well, finding the right pieces for the right moment, then I think the storytelling and the emotional spine is just, it's just ingrained. That's the hope, anyway.
Thank you for that. So now, mm-hmm. after decades and 24-plus projects with Richard Linklater, what still surprises you when you begin a new project, and when and how do you know a film is working?
Well, every project that Linklater does seems to be something completely different and new. So I'm always surprised when he, you know, finally shares with me what we're doing next. I'm like, oh, really? I did not have that on my bingo card, but okay. like, for example, Apollo 10 and a Half, an animated semi-autobiographical fantasy of a little kid living near Houston, near NASA, when the first moon walk happened. And it's a very, very fun, childlike animated film. But, you know, I did not know that that was what we were heading into. I think when I know a film is working, here's one thing that I haven't talked about, and that is trust. I feel like Rick trusts me, and he trusts my judgment, and he trusts my humor, and he trusts my storytelling ability, mm-hmm. and vice versa. I trust him completely. So if I, when we're screening something together, and if I laugh and he laughs, I'm like, okay, so there's an agreement between the two of us that that works. And I think, you know, I've eventually begun to, I mean, over all these decades, I yep. trust my own judgment. And I feel like if it's funny to me, it's probably going to be funny to Rick. Or if it's sad to me, it's going to probably be sad for other people. Mm-hmm. So we'll go with that.
Okay.
And it's not until somebody tells me it's not working that I have to, like, rethink.
And in a sentence or so, what do you hope attendees will take away from your upcoming workshop?
Well, I hope that attendees will take away a sense of the role of the editor, how important editing is to any kind of a film. Blue Moon, Boyhood, Before Sunrise, editing is a part of all of those films, even mm-hmm. though it may not be apparent to a viewer. I think editing is really fun. It's very engaging. And it's very serious work. And so I hope attendees will walk away with a new appreciation of the editing process.
Wonderful. So what excites you most about your first time visit to the Sedona Film Festival?
Well, everybody that I have talked to from the festival has been incredibly warm and sweet and helpful. I'm excited about seeing some of the films that will be screening. I'm excited about my workshop discussion, and I've never been to Sedona before, so I really want to try to really take in the beauty of the region.
Thank you. Perfect. And thanks for your time. This has been Susan Zeebrock, Telluride Inside and Out for the Sedona Film Festival. I've been speaking with renowned editor Sandra Adair. She'll be leading a workshop titled From First Cut to Final Frame, a Film Editor's Workflow. That event again takes place Saturday, February 28th, 4 p.m. at the Yavapai College Sedona Center. Sandra, thanks for taking time out of your crazy schedule to join me.
Thank you so much for having me.